This is timely. I like this one. What do you think, Hugh?
What?
The song.
What about it?
Do you like it?
Nah.
Is that because you're being a Grinch again, or do you not like the song?
No, I mean, I just don't like the song. I mean, I like Christmas.
I don't know.
Sometimes.
A little Grinchy sometimes.
I get that. I've heard that before.
Yeah. Well, how do you not like this song? This is a good one.
Not one of my favorite, you know. Nah.
Taylor Swift songs?
Nah.
Well, you know who likes this song? I'm sure he does.
I know he loves this song.
I'm sure he loves Christmas time, too. Let's talk to Ross Tucker, our guy. We do it every Tuesday, talking some Eagles and NFL. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross!
I am doing fantastic. What's up, fellas?
Well, we're good. You know why? Because the Eagles, Ross, right now are really good. 8-2, six straight wins. And on Thursday night, they really played well on defense against an offense that had been scoring close to 30 a game. Ross, in your estimation, across the league, how would you rank this defense right now? We could look at different numbers, but my eyes are telling me as I watch all the other games, this feels like a top five defense in the NFL, which I would have never guessed before the season.
I don't think there's any question they're a top five defense in the NFL right now. I mean, there's kind of like two ways to look at it, before the bye and after the bye, or you can look at it before CD and after CD, and CD being Cooper DeJean, because they put him in after the bye, and ever since then, you know, Greg Cosell told me last week on the Ross Tucker podcast, they're the second highest nickel team in the league. It's like 90% of the snaps, they have Cooper DeJean out there, which just tells you how they feel about him, how Fangio feels about him. And what I guess I'm so impressed by is it's still early in their rookie years, and people, they try to test them. They try to test Coop. They try to test Quinion. And these guys are better than, honestly, I feel like almost anybody could have anticipated. I mean, they're not just good rookies. They're really good players in the NFL already.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Ross, when you look at both of these guys, what do you see as their biggest asset as rookies, both of them?
Probably their maturity. I thought it was really interesting. You guys will appreciate this, but you guys know I do the preseason game, so I get a chance to talk with those guys a lot during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And what jumped out to me, remember, Cooper DeJean was hurt, like, all of training camp, right?
Yes.
And Quinion Mitchell told me, at the end of every day, he and Cooper would go back and watch every rep of practice or both practices that day together. They would watch it together. And then they were even watching, like, old video of other corners that they like. I mean, these guys are just kind of wise beyond their years. And if you remember, because Cooper was hurt and Avante Maddox, I think, was playing safety, I'm trying to remember where everybody was at, you know, they put Quinion Mitchell at nickelback in preseason training camp, you know, in the preseason games. They had Ringo and Isaiah Rogers at the outside corner. Guys, he had never played nickel before in his life. And in training camp, during nickel, and if you're not familiar, it's like a very different position than outside corner. Very different for a lot of different reasons. We can get into it if you want, but he had never played it before. And he was really good at it. And I remember saying to Sirianni, and Sirianni just kind of was like, man, he's a really good player. This is like the first preseason games. This is 2 weeks in. Sirianni just kind of looked at me and was like, he's a really good player. But they were, I think it's fair to say, not only is he better than the Eagles thought he would be, but he's clearly better than the league thought he would be. Because if they thought he'd be this good, you don't get a rookie starting corner playing lockdown ball with whatever it was, the 24th pick or 23rd, whatever it was. Like, those guys go top 10. I think because he went to Toledo, the Eagles kind of lucked out.
Ross, I agree. I couldn't believe he fell where he fell anyway. And then they got him there, and it might. Ross, when you say all this, and I think about the combination of DeJean and Mitchell, Ross, I'm reminded a little bit. I'm curious if you see a similar wavelength or on the same wavelength as me. 2022, you know, the Chiefs, the beginning of Mahomes' career, were an offensive team. They won on offense. And then they drafted McDuffie and Karlaftis in the first round, and it felt like that was the turnover to where their defense caught up, and now they win on defense more than offense. Ross, like, does this have the potential to be a franchise changing pair of defensive draft picks, these two?
Well, I think I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say they'll go from being an offensive team to a defensive team, because as we've talked about before, nobody has more talent on the offensive side of the ball than the Eagles. I mean, you can maybe make argument for the Lions, but the receiver duo, the tight end, the running back, the O-line, and then you put the quarterback in there. I mean, I would say, Joe, on a lot of teams and a lot of franchises, it would be a defensive team. But the Eagles, it sounds like you're being a homer when you say this. I'm not. Ask anybody. The Eagles' offensive talent is just so ridiculous. And maybe they're not even playing to that yet, right? Maybe they're not even playing as well as their talent is. But their talent on that side of the ball is so good, it's hard to say that they'll be a defensive team. Although they kind of have been, you know, during this stretch.
Ross Tucker with us here on the Midday Show. All right, Ross, you mentioned Detroit there, because that's the one we're all eyeing up now, because the Eagles are now one back of them for the home field advantage, and we're kind of thinking the idea that we might see this in January. Ross, how would you assess the two teams right now? Because you look at some of the numbers, it's close. Defensively, I'd give the Eagles the edge, but the Lions have a good defense this year too. Offensively, I agree with your assessment of talent, yet that team in Detroit feels like a little bit of a more well-oiled machine in the passing game. Ross, how would you break it down right now? Those two teams, I think the Lions are better, but by how much?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're better too. You win a game in Houston where Jared Goff throws five interceptions on the road against a 7-4 team. That's pretty impressive. I mean, that is hard to do. The only thing I would say about the Lions that might tilt it in the Eagles' favor a little bit, guys, they lost the defensive player of the year in the league for the season. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was the favorite to be the defensive player of the year in the league. So other than Goff as the starting quarterback, he was clearly their most important, most valuable player. So whoever you think that is for the Eagles, whether it's Lane Johnson or A.J. Brown or Jalen, I don't care who you think it is, imagine the Eagles without that guy. That's the Lions without Aiden Hutchinson. And then they just lost my missing brother, Alex Anzalone. So he's from the same hometown as me and Taylor Swift, why missing, an hour west of Philly. But he's their captain. He's by far their best linebacker. I've known him since he was five. He just broke his forearm. He's out at least 6 to 8 weeks. My guess is he'll get back for the playoffs. But I wonder if no Hutchinson – I mean – Anzalone's the guy that wears the green dot, that gets them lined up, calls everything on defense. They got some other guys, but he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. So I think the difference between these teams right now, I think if the Lions had Anzalone and Hutchinson, I think it's the Lions by a little bit. But without those guys, man, I think you might have to give the edge to the Eagles.
All right, Ross, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you, and you could have one of these two things by the time we get to NFC Championship game. Number one would be the Eagles' passing game locks in and starts to be a play and be more efficient at a higher level. Or, Ross, the Eagles overtake the Lions for home field and the game is here. If you could have one of those two things from the Eagles' perspective, a better passing game heading into a matchup with Detroit or the game outdoors in the cold here, what do you think would be a better thing to have?
Definitely, definitely the latter. The home field advantage. Number one, you don't want to have to play that first game, right? I mean, that it's a game.
Yep.
It's a full game. You could lose. You could get injuries, whatever. So that's significant. But also, Joe, I was on the sideline last year in Detroit for their first playoff win in 33 years when they beat the Rams that Sunday night game. That place was absolutely bonkers. Not a single Ram fan in there. The people were going crazy. I couldn't even hear myself think. Grown men, lots of them, were crying after the game. I don't think the Eagles do not want to play an NFC Championship game. I mean, that'd be great if they got to an NFC Championship game, but I would much rather see the Eagles play that in Philly than Detroit. That would be – they've never been to a Super Bowl. Those people would be going ape, you know what, to try to win that game at home. Are you kidding me? No, no, no. I'd rather have the passing game not be quite as smooth and play at home.
Ross Tucker with us here. All right, Ross, let's look forward to this week. The Rams, it's kind of an in-between spot. Everyone was hyped up for the Commanders game because it was such a big one in the NFC East. And then next week, they'll play Baltimore, which will be a very high-profile game. This one against a Rams team that is 500, but they're right there in their division. What do you make of this game, Ross? And that Rams passing attack, when they're right, they have obviously good weapons with Stafford. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that's what's so cool about it. This is, people have been talking about Quinyon Mitchell for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Well, these are the two guys. I mean, these are Jared Verse, the D lineman for the Rams, has been fantastic. By the way, he's from Eastern PA. He's from Bloomsburg. And he's been unbelievable. He is the heavy prohibitive favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year. But Quinyon is now second. So this is a Sunday night game. Collinsworth and Tirico are going to be talking about it a lot. So what the Eagles need is, number one, Lane Johnson and Mailata to totally shut down this Verse kid. But then because of the Rams throwing the ball all over the place to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, this is kind of a showcase game for Quinyon Mitchell and DeJean, right? Like, everybody, people are hearing that they're good and whatever, and they're playing well, and a lot of people saw Thursday night. This will really reinforce it. Quinyon has a huge opportunity to go back-to-back primetime games from scary Terry McLaurin, and then probably more Puka than Cooper, but we'll see. And if he does it back-to-back primetime games and the Eagles O-line shuts Verse out, those odds might change. So not that I'm out here giving betting advice. If you think that's going to happen, now might be the time to put a wager in on Quinyon.
Get your money early, huh? Get the money early.
Ross, my heart is beating because I'm sitting on a 16-1 preseason Quinyon Rookie of the Year. I need it this weekend, Ross. I need an interception on Sunday night. I feel like that could be it.
Joe, how about a pick six? You need that, and you need at the end of the game for them to have Jared Verse's stats be like zero tackles, zero pressures. You need Mailata to lock that young man up.
That would be awesome. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on, as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully after another Eagles win to move to 9-2. Thank you, Ross.
Have a good one, man.
Oh, sounds so good. I heard you guys doing the hot tub. I was worried you were going to ask me about, like, the bullpen or something. And thank goodness it was all just Eagles questions.
Next, Ross, week I need you to break down every available relief pitcher for the offseason, all right? Can you do that?
Definitely not.
Okay.
For your next guest.
You got it, Ross. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right.
There he goes. Ross Tucker. There. All right.
94 WIP breaking news.
All right, we got some breaking news here. Breaking news from WIP is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. So I was hoping that the breaking news center would be something really positive, like maybe the Phillies went and got Juan Soto, but instead, Hugh Douglas and everyone, we have ourselves some serious breaking Sixers news. So we know last night Sixers lose in Miami, and Embiid did play. Did not play well. What else is new? He hasn't played well this season at all when he's been in there. After the game, Hugh, there was a team meeting. Nick Nurse took about an hour to get to the podium to speak after the game.
Oh, wow. The whole
team meeting. Well, guess what we have ourselves? Kyle, we have ourselves some details of that team meeting?
Yeah, Shams Charania reported on the details of the meeting. So it was Kyle Lowry who called the meeting, a much-needed heart-to-heart, he says, and a call to action and urgency. Sources told ESPN, in the meeting, Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late, quote, for everything, end quote, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff, sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN.
I couldn't love Tyrese Maxey more than I do right now.
Wait a minute.
Good.
Say, like, I heard you, but could you repeat that,
I will repeat
please?
That entire paragraph there. In the meeting, Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late, quote, for everything, end quote, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff. Sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN.
That is crazy that they allowed that to get out at this time. And what I mean by this time, you just gave the man $190 million. Now you want him to be accountable. It's just...
Well, Tyrese Maxey didn't give him 190.
Well,
just because Josh Harrison and Morey did.
Here's the thing, he didn't. But, and I'm not picking on Tyrese, but at some point he was complicit in all of this, and I guess it just got to the point where you got the young guy out there playing well. They just got fed up. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by the timing, Joe. It's just the timing of everything because Tyrese Maxey has been very supportive of the big fella.
Sure.
I guess up until this point.
You know, at some point, you know, I think we assume they're all on the same page. Maybe they're not. Maybe the stuff that frustrates
it's starting to get to them.
A little more.
Go ahead.
I could elaborate. So it says, Maxey and Embiid have a close friendship and have a history of holding each other accountable, according to those around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella, but this is the elephant in the room, a person involved in the meeting told ESPN. Players told Sixers coach Nick Nurse that they wanted to be coached harder. And coaches, in turn, said they want the players to practice with purpose and attention to detail. Embiid accepted the messages sent in the meeting, sources said, but he stated he's confused about what the Sixers are attempting to execute sometimes on the court.
Oh, so we about to start. We just had a come to Jesus moment.
We're pointing fingers now.
We've had a come to Jesus moment. This is just the beginning.
So yesterday, you guys got on me when I threw out the idea that coaches get fired for this. I don't want to fire Nick Nurse, but this is what happens. Coaches get fired, fingers get pointed. You can't go 2-12 in the NBA to start a season.
No, and call yourself being a playoff contender.
Of course. Right?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do it. Not with this level of stardom on the team. I'm so glad Tyrese Maxey did this. You know why? Two reasons. One, he obviously feels he's emboldened now, right? He's not a young player anymore. He has his own contract. He's a star in its own right. And the other thing is, at some point, someone had to call Embiid out on this. And maybe we actually have a leader now on the team aside from him. Like, was James Harden ever going to do it? James Harden was off in Vegas in between playoff series. It wasn't going to be him. Was it going to be Ben Simmons, who was afraid of his own shadow? No. Like, so we finally have somebody else here that will call Embiid on this stuff. And if that... When that line that Kyle read, that Embiid is confused at what they're trying to run, maybe get yourself ready to go, and then you
get
can participate.
Yeah. Show up on time.
Get in shape.
Show up
Be
on time.
Be there on time, yeah. That's just crazy that all of that has happened in such a short period of time. That's what I'm kind of, you know, focused on. Hey, good job for Maxey. He's tired of it. He wants to be better. And that's what it is to me. It just sounds like he's fed up with what he's seeing, and he wants more for Joel Embiid. He wants him to be better.
Isn't it telling that it says another source told ESPN that this was the elephant in the room?
It's been going
on
a long time.
As the players have been talking about it, like, hey, why is Embiid not here?
Because he's the guy. Because they probably felt like he's the guy. Can't say nothing to him. He does what he wants to do. And, you know, I just think the timing of all of this stuff, you know, the Marcus Hayes story and what he wrote and how Joel Embiid got upset. And now this comes out. It's just interesting, the timing for all of these things talking about Joel Embiid, because we've all speculated it. We've all speculated. We've all wondered how hard he has been working. And for you not to – the one thing as an injured player that you never want to be, especially if you're injured and you're trying to work yourself back, is to be late to rehab or anything that you're trying to do that's going to help you become a better player.
It gives off the sense of a lack of caring. And I look, maybe that's not it, but Hugh, it gives off that sense that you're not all in, that you don't care about this whole thing. I'm glad they called him out. Enough is enough. I mean, enough is enough. You can't just get by on being a great player. There's a lot of great players in the NBA. And at some point, this is why it's always drove me crazy. Well, he's the best player. He's better than this. No. He's a good player. He's a tremendous talent. But there's 15 of them in the NBA. There's a reason why sometimes guys don't win titles. They got to be all in. And obviously, his teammates don't think he is.
Joel Embiid should be the one calling out others for not being focused for his cause. He's the franchise player, the breadwinner. Like, this team is built around Joel Embiid. Why does he need to be the one that's told by a kid who's, what, 23, 24, by the
just
way?
Just coming into his own,
yeah,
too.
To lock in. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a disaster.
Dude,
can you find, Kyle, when you have a second here, this morning on the morning show, they played a clip of Embiid after the game responding to what the team meeting was about. I want you guys to hear this, because when you hear this, it's going to cement what we just found out. All right, listen to Embiid, and again, when I first heard this morning as I was driving in, I thought it was just Embiid kind of like deflecting, like, hey, yeah, what we're talking about. But now with this information, it hits different. Here's Embiid last night being asked about this meeting.
You know, I always wanted to give it a chance. So, you know, as long as, you know, I felt like I could be out there and I think, then, you know, I was going to try regardless.
Joe, I mean, obviously Nick told us about meeting, I guess, but I'll go get the specifics of it. I guess, was it possible to meet with you guys?
Oh, we had a meeting?
Wait a minute. He talking about the meeting we just got the report
That's
on?
That's exactly the
well,
one.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me? He didn't want to talk about it.
Of course not.
But like I said, and this is a shameless plug for me, I should have been the media guy. This story would have never got, this story would have never
Wait
seen
a second.
The light
if
of
you
day.
Were the media guy, someone would walk out with a black eye. They would have thrown hands.
This story would have never seen the light of day. There's a disconnect.
Of course there is.
There's a huge disconnect because he obviously felt like that was told in confidence. Somebody couldn't wait for that story to
run to Champs. You're not going to believe what just happened.
They couldn't wait for that story. It's almost like, you've ever seen the Wiz at the end where everybody start dancing, ding dong, the witch is dead. It's kind of the same thing. Somebody, they were waiting for that moment,
yep.
and Tyrese Maxey was the guy that got finally fed up with it. That is, moving forward, I wonder what this means.
Oh, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
But you know,
hey, yo, the hell with this fiction,
well,
man.
Because of this, Joe, this is something, this is not behavior that just happened this week.
No, this has been building.
This has been building for years.
And you know what? It upset a lot of people here, and it should have, that Joel Embiid last year, the way he prioritized his surgery, rehab, Olympics, I wonder if it bothers some of his teammates. Like, hey, we busted our ass all summer to get ready for the season, and what were you doing? And now we're starting to start this thing. You're not ready physically, and you're late to meetings. Like, get out of here with that.
To me, it just blows my mind to think that you're rehabbing. You're trying to get in shape,
and you're late.
And you're late. And you know me, I like to exaggerate stories. You're like 30 minutes late. You're like an hour late, chilling. Like, wow.
An hour and 15
okay.
late?
Okay, 30.
35. All right, 215-592-9494. All your phone calls coming up. You can react to the Soto-Turner idea. We do have some news regarding the Phillies and Juan Soto. We're going to talk to Eric Kratz of Foul Territory. Of course, former Phil, former big league catcher. He'll join us for the High Hope Summit, for the big leagues, Phillies, High Hope Summit, the whole thing. Hot stuff. My brain is scrambled because it's the Sixers thing. And then to all your phone calls, Embiid was called out, according to ESPN last night, team meeting, called out by Tyrese Maxey for not being on time. We got a lot to react to here. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react to the Embiid story as the Sixers continue to be a disaster. Maxey calling him out. Philly stuff as it is a hot stove summit today on the Midday Show. Your call's coming up. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Big news coming out of the Sixers, according to ESPN, the team meeting last night. Tyrese Maxey calling out Joel Embiid for not being on time.
Good for the young guy.
Good
man.
For him. Yeah, I mean, someone had to say it to Joel Embiid. So we'll continue to react to that. The Sixers are a disaster right now. And finally, someone calls out Embiid for not doing what he's got to do as the best player on the team. We'll get back to that. All your reaction to Joel stuff, the Juan Soto situation. John Heyman reporting a little bit earlier today, the Phillies are indeed going to get a meeting with Juan Soto, so that's on our radar as well. A lot going on. Let's talk to our next guest here, Eric Kratz, and right back to your phone calls. Eric Kratz, foul territory, long big league career, and now he talks about baseball on a daily basis. Let's talk to him about this Phillies offseason. Kratz, how you doing today, bud?
Eric, I am awesome. Thanks for having me on, boys, because I totally have to redeem myself because I absolutely blew it for my tens of fans who listened to what I had to say about the Mets. They didn't met, bro. Like, that was the last time I was on.
I know.
They blew it.
No, we met it. Yeah, they didn't met. We met it. Kratz, hopefully next time we see the Phils, they're in a better position than the last time we saw them. All right, Kratz, let's go here. Let's start with this. There's a lot of rumors out there with the Phillies, what they might do, what they should do. They might shake things up this offseason. What do you think about that? Just the idea that where they're at right now, it's been a good team for a few years, but they haven't gotten over the hump, now going kind of the wrong way when it comes to the postseason. Is it time to shake up the core here?
Shake up the core? No. Because the core, I think everybody would agree, the core is Trey Turner. The core is Kyle Schwarber. It is Bryce Harper. It is Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. No, I don't think it's time to shake those guys up. So maybe some of the peripheries? Maybe?
I was just about to ask you, so how, like, we can't possibly go into another season with this thing being the same way it is. So, like, when you talk about peripheral moves, you know, Bohm's name's been thrown out there a little bit as far as trade bait or whatever. How would you fix this baseball team if it was you trying to fix it?
To me, you know, the Bohm stuff, if that narrative keeps getting sold that he's, you know, he's on the trading block, just know you're getting rid of 93, I think, or 97 RBIs. Those aren't easy to come by, and some people don't think RBIs are a big deal. But to me, you know, you have to upgrade in the area of swing decisions. Does that mean you get rid of Nick Castellanos because he doesn't make great swing decisions? Well, the team wasn't hitting well in the second half, but Nick Castellanos was. Bryce Harper didn't have a homer for 20 days. Nick Castellanos did for, you know, during those 20 days. Like, I don't think you go away from the guys. To me, this team came in after the World Series year, and they said, you know what? We want to win the division. Well, they didn't win the division. Then the next, they blew it against the Diamondbacks. They needed to upgrade their bullpen. They upgraded the bullpen by, you know, maybe not leaning on guys like Kimbrel. They came in, they said, we want to win the division. So they won the division. They made the change. Maybe the Braves played a little bit worse than they did the year before, but the year before they were kind of playing out of their shoes. So to me, you have to not necessarily say, okay, they want to win the World Series. They've wanted to win the World Series ever since 22 when they were in it against the Astros and got no hit. Like, that was every team that builds a team like this wants to win the World Series. So what is the adjustment as a team that they need to make? And I think Kevin Long's the guy to help them not cut down their strikeouts, because that's like saying, hey, there's a pink elephant in the room. And all you're going to think is, where's the pink elephant? Where, if you say, oh, you know, don't strike out as much, it's a negative thought. You think, how do we increase our swing decisions? And I think if you do that as a team, even old dogs can learn new tricks.
Eric Kratz joining us here on the Hot Stove Summit. All right, so you think that old dogs can learn new tricks, and sometimes they can. But also, is there something to the idea of incorporating guys that are just good at this, right? There, you know, you look up and down, there's probably 25 players in baseball that are elite at not swinging at bad pitches. They're great at it. They don't chase. Do they need to bring one of those guys in? They've been connected to Alec Bregman here. Alex Bregman, he's been good at it in his career. Obviously, Juan Soto is amazing at it. But there's even other guys, you know, Brendan Donovan in St. Louis, like guys that are just grinders that don't swing and miss and don't swing at bad pitches. Do they need to go get one of those guys to incorporate into this mix?
Yes, and I say that with a question mark because you know, you bring in a Bregman who's never struck out more than 100 times in a season. Like, he's a walk-to-strikeout guy. He's almost a one-to-one for his career, which is elite. It's incredible. But the mentality, and the example I give is obviously the World Series winning Dodgers, Max Muncy. Obviously, the Phillies would love to have a Max Muncy. Max Muncy, when he was out of the lineup, the Dodgers were an under 500 team. Yes, he didn't get a single hit in the World Series. Phillies fans would hate it if you got a guy like Max Muncy and he didn't get a hit in the World Series. But they would love it if they won the World Series. And what Max Muncy brings is a swing decision in different situations. Sometimes you don't swing at the first pitch that's a strike unless it's middle-middle, you know, and it's 99 right down the middle and you can do damage on it. That's the kind of guy they need to bring in, and I think those guys are available without getting an Alex Bregman, without trading the farm for a young player from another organization who has shown for 2 years that they don't swing out of the zone. You need guys that are willing to put together at-bats, but the other issue with that is you're going to sit there and go, this guy hits 220, like, because those guys do not hit for a high batting average. They don't swing out of the zone, and they don't allow your team to get into situations where it's a one-pitch out. It's usually one-pitch doubles or homers, and it's five pitches, and it's an out. Seven, eight pitches, and it's an out. And those are productive players. So to me, I'm looking at lesser value with like a Jonathan India type of player who had a 16.8 chase rate outside of the zone. It just means he's not swinging at pitches outside the zone. He'll still strike out. It's okay. But you go there, and it doesn't really shake up your entire organization by saying, well, we just added another $23 million a year player in Alex Bregman for the next 8 years.
I like that idea. You need more grinders. I mean, like, I think of Muncy, I think of a grinder. All right, Kratz, let's talk about Garrett Crochet. He's been connected to the Phillies a lot. How good do you think he is? I mean, obviously the stats last year are off the walls. I mean, then they shut him down a little bit at the end, and they limited those innings. But it's only been one great year. He's had injuries. Is he worth it? Like, if the Phillies decide they want to upgrade pitching and that's the way they want to make their team better, do you think Crochet is worth giving up some of their best prospects to get?
I'll go to Charlie Manuel quote. When he was asked, would you like to have Giancarlo Stanton on your team? And he said, yes. He goes, well, who would you trade for him? And Chuck goes, well, I would trade Roy Halladay. I would trade Cliff Lee. I'd even trade Cole Hamels if it got me there. Garrett Crochet is that good of a pitcher. Yes, there's injury concern. Yes, there's a issue with, you know, he hasn't thrown many innings earlier. You know, he's never started in his career. When you have a talent like that and you have a team positioned where they are, you can never have enough elite starting strikeout pitching because that guy would slot in right into the rotation. And I think you could even possibly trade you could trade Sanchez. You could trade a, without getting into your Nick Abel, to your Andrew Painters, you know, to your Aiden Millers, you could trade a big league ready pitcher that has low service time. And, you know, the package wouldn't be so devastating to your minor league system.
Well, I mean, the way you framed it, I'm in. He's got big-time stuff, and him and Wheeler and Nolan a series would be really, really good. Kratz, we appreciate you hopping on. Let's do it again soon, especially as the Phillies start making moves, and we'll check out the show on YouTube. Thank you, Kratz.
I appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Eric Kratz, foul territory there. We appreciate him hopping on. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh, I think people are chomping at the bit to react to all these things that we're talking about today, including the story that broke just about a half hour ago. Joel Embiid reportedly called out in a team meeting last night after the game by Tyrese Maxey. One more quick thing to throw in. It just goes with the whole show today. We do have a Juan Soto Phillies update for you. John Heyman put this out about a half hour ago. The Phillies haven't met with Juan Soto yet, but they plan to. Not many teams want to win more than them. So now we're getting some concrete here. The Phillies are planning to meet with Juan Soto. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on all this. Rob in Delco, and don't forget, it is Combo Con today. We're looking for one-two punches. One that I think was been included in one last year is Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. I'm not sure anymore if they are as good of a one-two punch they used to be, because maybe not on the best terms. Rob in Delco, what's up, buddy?
They got beef.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like the basketball gods knew I was going to be the next call after this news broke, Hugh. That's what it knew. Because when I talked to Kyle, Hugh, he's like, no, we want to stick to the Soto thing. And then when this broke, he got back on. He's like, it must have been meant to be, Hugh, that I was going to follow up with the first call after this joke of an athlete that we have right now. Now, if I could spend a mill, and I got a great combo answer, but, Hugh, it's not original, and I'm kind of playing off the news, so... You kind of know where I'm going to go with my answer. But first thing, is Juan Soto better than Aaron Judge?
No, he's not absolutely better than Aaron Judge. No.
Then why would you give him $700 million?
Well, but he's he's 5 years younger than Judge
was.
I know,
Hugh, that's why I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. That's
he is 5 years younger than Judge was when Judge hit free. You're paying for all the years of good that you. I mean, Rob, he's probably got 8 more years of like prime before he even starts to decline. So we got a long runway there.
All right, because his numbers to me aren't even close to Judge's. Like to me, Judge is way better. Like he's an average fielder too. People don't talk about Soto's fielding.
He is. I agree with you. Yeah, I think average is probably even generous. Yeah, he's not a very good fielder.
Yeah. He's not very good in the World Series. But anyway, listen, and I got a great answer for you at the end, so don't let me forget. Joe, what has my slogan been? I used to say I, but I'm going to say we now, Hugh, because I'm speaking for the city of Philadelphia, okay? I'm making a blanket statement. We want our team back, okay? And it starts at the top with the moron owner, and it starts below that with the moron GM, okay? They just gave, and you know how they announce, like, if you're at the game, 7-2, I'm going to say 325 because he ain't in shape. So I'm going to make 325 center from Kansas, and they play the music in the background. They said that Mr. Softy music in the background, Hugh. Like that truck that comes down the street with the ice cream and the milkshake.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, play that for Joel Embiid. Because you know what? They're a joke. Like, to me, I'm ready to start over with Tyrese and Jarrett McCain and get rid of this guy right now. If somebody would take him, Joe, I would deal him right now. They just gave him 3 years and $190 million in change for a guy that doesn't show up on time, doesn't care about his body, doesn't take care of himself. We just gave him another 3 years at $190 plus?
It's a slap in the face to the organization. I mean, he's turning his back on his teammates, but he's also, if I was Josh Harris and I was Daryl Morey, I'd be furious today. Like, that it got to the point where they have to call you, like a teammate has got to call you out in a team meeting. Rob, they should have traded this guy 2 years ago, and now it is a disaster because he's not healthy, and he's obviously not working hard enough. It's one thing for me to assume that. But when it's coming out from Tyrese Maxey, I know it's true. Like, Maxey's not going to do that. Hugh, you live life in a locker room. There's no way a teammate, from my perspective, would call another teammate unless there's real reason to do it.
Especially if you feel like there's a legit chance and you know you're busting your butt and they're not busting their butt. Yeah, this is big. And you know what this reminds me of? This is almost like a bitter breakup. There's going to be more that comes out behind this.
Yep.
Because Joel Embiid is not going to go quietly into the night. That's the kind of the best part about it.
Him. I hope he doesn't. Screw you, Joel. I don't want him. I'm at the breaking point, Joe. That's it. I'm done.
Well,
I'm done
I bet you're not the only one. Rob, what do you got for us for Combo-Con? What's your answer?
Real fast, they're not only slapping in the face, the owners are slapping us, and I'm not even excusing Joel. Joel, that's who he is, and they knew who he was. The owners and the GM are slapping the city of Philadelphia and us fans in the face. That's who they're slapping in the face. Because Joel is who he is, Hugh. You know what I mean? This has been going on for a while, so they're slapping us in the face. That's why I'm actually more mad at them than I am at Joel. Here's my answer. Tyrese Maxey and leadership. That's my perfect combination.
Oh, I like that. All right, good. A little 1-2 punch there, Rob. Appreciate it.
Something that stands out about the article, because we haven't gotten really too much of a chance to get deep into the details here. The paragraph that says, Embiid accepted the messages, but he stated that he's sometimes confused about what the Sixers are attempting to execute on the court. That, coupled with his almost dismissive attitude after the game. Like, say I was late for the show to start 10 a.m. all the time. And you guys are like, yo, Kyle, like, you know, you should start showing up on time. And I'm like, well, what are you guys doing in the show? It's like, yeah, no, hold on a second.
You'd know if you were here.
Yeah, like, you're deflecting from what we think the issue is.
That's why I say it's more to come. Because he probably accepted it, but at the same time, he felt attacked.
You know who I want to hear from today? We'll take everyone's phone call. I want to hear from the person who whines and cries every time I try to say the truth about Joel Embiid. I need to hear from the Joel Embiid fan today.
That ain't about to happen.
No, I need to. Because if you're a Joel Embiid zealot and you will refuse to criticize this guy, it's time to wake up.
Right,
it's time to wake up. Like, again, it's a slap in the face to you, too. The people out there that love this guy because he's a great player. Again, I think NBA fans just have bad math skills. There's 15 great players. They're all over the place. The reason that there's certain guys win is because they put in all the work, and certain guys don't because they don't, and that's obvious now.
I'm trying to wrap my head around like why something like this might have been leaked. If they thought the team meeting was productive, then it's almost something that doesn't need to be said. Is this a response to Embiid almost seeming dismissive, as though maybe the message didn't get through?
This is, to me, Kyle,
I think that's a fair thought.
To me, Kyle, this is survival mode, because that's why. When I heard the story, people have been speculating this for years. I was told that this has been going on for like 10 years. He, you know, when he got here, he didn't rehab to get ready for the season and he missed the season. So this is something that's not new. The fact that it's coming out now, this feels like survival mode. Somebody's in survival mode right now, especially coming off the fact that you just gave this man a ton of money. And, you know, we've been hearing rumors and speculation.
Mm-hmm.
That he's been working out and he's in shape. I, you know, to me, Embiid looks the same. To be honest, if he's in shape, out of shape, big, tall dude, you know, whatever. But the play on the court does not reflect somebody who's been working hard to get ready for the season.
Last night, to give you an example of your point, he doesn't look right on the court. It was the first game that Joel Embiid has played since 2018 without attempting a free throw shot.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me either the effort or the stamina or the physicality is not there, right? Because he gets free throws whenever he wants. All he has to do is go down low and bang, and he'll get to the free throw line because he's good at getting free throws, and no one can guard him anyway because he's so big and strong. It's like him not getting to the free throw line tells me his effort and his ability right now are not there. 215-592-9494. I'm just so glad that Tyrese Maxey did this. I'm just so glad. Like, it's time, because it obviously wasn't getting through when fans do it. Like, that wasn't working.
Y'all crazy.
Daryl Morey, go look at his track record with James Harden. He let Harden go to Vegas in between playoff series when he was with the... I mean, Harden ran the show in Houston, and all that team did was not come close to winning a championship. I mean, Morey's the biggest pushover in the NBA when it comes to stars, so Morey wasn't going to call him out. I don't know if Nurse feels like he can. Maybe this was his way of allowing it to happen. I don't know, but someone had to call him out. Let's go to Greg in Hamilton. Hey, Greg. Greg, you there, buddy? Greg, buddy.
The moment's too big for him.
Greg,
we got too many topics on the table.
You got to be on time, Greg. Don't be an Embiid. Black Gritty's up. What's up?
Black Gritty.
You know, I'm always on time. Hugh, what it do?
What's up, man?
There. Quinn Jett behind the glass. So let me tell you something. There's some show that comes on after you, and they take a lot of shots at you. I don't listen that much anymore, but they be talking a lot of stuff and talking about trading Maxey and, it was wrong on McCain. And they fight so hard for Joel Embiid. Well, you're going down that hill because it's over now. The fact
been
that
a lot of dying on hills lately.
Yeah, a lot of dead
lot
people
of
on
it. Hills. They about to, it's a drought here. It's a drought. It's a fire, bro. We in trouble. This dude's got to get traded. You gave him a 5-year extension for what? Morey's supposed to call him out? No, my coach's supposed to call him out. I know that Glenn Rivers let him do whatever he wanted to do with Harden. But this Joel Embiid, dude, you came off your Olympics. You were supposed to go out there and hang with the LeBrons and the champions and the Currys and do something. You come back, you're out of shape, your knees busted up, you still get an extension. And Tyrese Maxey, you know how bad of a person that you got to be at your job for Smiley to come and check you? All the dude wants to do
Smiley.
Is be happy, bro. When you get
take
Smiley,
people girlfriends.
For real. I mean, Mr. C, your girl, it is what it is. But I'm saying, if he stole it, you ain't never had it. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you know
true.
What it is.
Yeah.
But get back. back and focus. You focus now. This man is so nice. This kid is so good. I mean, he worried about Joel not doing his job. And Joel can deflect all he wants to. But guess what? You do so much for this city, you can't show up on time for $500 million? You can't show up on time when you do so much for the city. Now, trade him. Get me Max and get me Kane. The only thing that they seem to be able to do lately is get some hits on draft picks. So go out there and get Joel to get his 50-point game before the trade deadline and get this dude out of here. Because I guess what? We ain't never winning with him. It don't matter. He's going to be hurt regardless. And we are a transparent organization again. Starting the process all over again. My goodness gracious. If you call Joel Fenderbell, would be you're a crazy individual right now. Because this dude's out of hand. Things will go together. I'm over here eating some fries, some ketchup. That's a classic.
Ketchup and fries as a 1-2 punch. That's really good.
I'll see y'all tomorrow. Y'all better be straight, too.
We'll see you there. We'll see you at Chickie's tomorrow. Thank you, Black Gritty.
Could have been anything but ketchup, honestly.
No, fries go with ketchup.
No, they don't.
That's
fries
a 1-2
if they're a child.
Fries go with that shake.
It's a 1-2 punch.
You never heard that saying back in the back in my day?
I would much rather eat fries than a shake than with ketchup.
Do fries go with that shake?
No, that's a good one. Now, you cannot like fries and ketchup, but you have to admit it is a 1-2 punch.
It's a bad 1-2 punch.
But that's fine. You could say it's not your favorite 1-2 punch, but it's up there with any food 1-2 punch there is.
I can think of better.
You know, I don't even eat much ketchup anymore. Like, I very rarely have it.
Yeah, because we're adults now.
But on fries, it works.
I can think of like five different things I'd rather dip it in.
I don't need ketchup on fries.
You don't need it, but it adds to it.
I would rather eat them with nothing than with ketchup.
Well, that depends on the fry. I mean, some fries are not very good.
And I think we're operating under the assumption that it's a good fry.
Okay, 215-592-9494.
I like my bet. I took another good one.
Yeah, you did. I'm operating the assumption that Joel Embiid is not a championship player. I've been operating under this assumption for like...
You feel vindicated?
Yes. Yes, of course I do.
You said it was so much...
Because it's so obvious, and everyone's like, oh, he's a great player. Could you ever...
This is a bad look.
Could you ever imagine... Go to the best players in the NBA that won all the titles over the last 30 years. Could you ever imagine someone saying this about Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant? Never! Never!
Well, technically, Allen Iverson showed up late a few times. He was great.
He wasn't a championship player.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it for what it is. He didn't win anything.
Yeah, but he was a hell of a player, though.
215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, your phone calls here coming up. The whole Joel Embiid situation. If you missed it, Tyrese Maxey called him out. Can we hear quickly, and then we'll hit all this again and continue in the 1 o'clock hour. Can we hear Joel Embiid, some of what he had to say when he was upset at Marcus Hayes a couple weeks ago? Because he threw this in there, and then we find out he's not even showing up on time.
I broke my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision.
You sorry.
Have broken fingers. I still came back, so I'm not gonna see him be like, you know, when I see people saying he doesn't want to play. I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, you know, for people to be saying that. So I do think he's bull. Like that dude, he's not here. Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this city to be treated like this. So, done way too much. But, like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and, you know, I'm not, you know, doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm going to be here pretty soon.
The end caught me.
I'll be out here pretty soon.
Well, in the end when he said, it doesn't mean I'm not doing everything it takes and I'm not trying. Well, guess who doesn't think you're doing everything it takes?
Your teammates.
Yep. And they called you out in a meeting yesterday. So spare me. Like, spare me the pity party. Spare me, leave me alone, blah, blah, blah. Go out there and show your teammates. Because it's beyond just us now. I mean, your teammates, they're the ones with you every day. And they see it. 215-592-9494. Your reaction here to the Embiid story. Maxey called him out in a team meeting last night. Soto news. The Phillies are meeting with him. A lot to discuss. We'll hit it all in the 1 o'clock hour. 215-592-9494. And your answers for Combo-Con. We're looking for a 1-2 punch today for the ultimate midday show tailgate giveaway. Brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Jilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Big news coming out of the Sixers. According to ESPN, the team meeting last night, Tyrese Maxey calling out Joel Embiid for not being on time.
Good for the young guy,
Good for him. Yeah, I mean, someone had to say it to Joel Embiid. So we'll continue to react to that. The Sixers are a disaster right now. And finally, someone calls out Embiid for not doing what he's got to do as the best player on the team. We'll get back to that. All your reaction to Joel stuff, the Juan Soto situation. John Heyman reporting a little bit earlier today, the Phillies are indeed going to get a meeting with Juan Soto, so that's on our radar as well. A lot going on. Let's talk to our next guest here, Eric Kratz, and right back to your phone calls. Eric Kratz, foul territory, long big league career, and now he talks about baseball on a daily basis. Let's talk to him about this Phillies offseason. Kratz, how you doing today, bud?
Eric! I am awesome. Thanks for having me on, boys, because I totally have to redeem myself because I absolutely blew it for my tens of fans who listened to what I had to say about the Mets. They didn't met, bro. Like, that was the last time I was on.
I know.
They blew it.
No, we met it. Yeah, they didn't met. We met it. Kratz, hopefully next time we see the Phils, they're in a better position than the last time we saw them. All right, Kratz, let's go here. Let's start with this. There's a lot of rumors out there with the Phillies, what they might do, what they should do. They might shake things up this offseason. What do you think about that? Just the idea that where they're at right now, it's been a good team for a few years, but they haven't gotten over the hump, now going kind of the wrong way when it comes to the postseason. Is it time to shake up the core here?
Shake up the core? No. Because the core, I think everybody would agree, the core is Trey Turner. The core is Kyle Schwarber. It is Bryce Harper. It is Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. No, I don't think it's time to shake those guys up. So maybe some of the peripheries? Maybe?
I was just about to ask you. So how, like, we can't possibly go into another season with this thing being the same way it is. So, like, when you talk about peripheral moves, you know, Bohm's name's been thrown out there a little bit as far as trade bait or whatever. How would you fix this baseball team if it was you trying to fix it?
To me, you know, the Bohm stuff, if that narrative keeps getting sold that he's on the trading block, just know you're getting rid of 93, I think, or 97 RBIs. Those aren't easy to come by, and some people don't think RBIs are a big deal. But to me, you know, you have to upgrade in the area of swing decisions. Does that mean you get rid of Nick Castellanos because he doesn't make great swing decisions? Well, the team wasn't hitting well in the second half, but Nick Castellanos was. Bryce Harper didn't have a homer for 20 days. Nick Castellanos did for, you know, during those 20 days. Like, I don't think you go away from the guys. To me, this team came in after the World Series year, and they said, you know what? We want to win the division. Well, they didn't win the division. Then the next, they blew it against the Diamondbacks. They needed to upgrade their bullpen. They upgraded the bullpen by, you know, maybe not leaning on guys like Kimbrel. They came in, they said, we want to win the division. So they won the division. They made the change. Maybe the Braves played a little bit worse than they did the year before, but the year before they were kind of playing out of their shoes. So to me, you have to not necessarily say, okay, they want to win the World Series. They've wanted to win the World Series ever since 22 when they were in it against the Astros and got no hit. Like, that was every team that builds a team like this wants to win the World Series. So what is the adjustment as a team that they need to make? And I think Kevin Long's the guy to help them not cut down their strikeouts, because that's like saying, hey, there's a pink elephant in the room. And all you're going to think is, where's the pink elephant? Where, if you say, oh, you know, don't strike out as much, it's a negative thought. You think, how do we increase our swing decisions? And I think if you do that as a team, even old dogs can learn new tricks.
Eric Kratz joining us here on the Hot Stove Summit. All right, so you think that old dogs can learn new tricks, and sometimes they can, but also, is there something to the idea of incorporating guys that are just good at this, right? There, you know, you look up and down, there's probably 25 players in baseball that are elite at not swinging at bad pitches. They're great at it. They don't chase. Do they need to bring one of those guys in? They've been connected to Alec Bregman here. Alex Bregman, he's been good at it in his career. Obviously, Juan Soto is amazing at it. But there's even other guys, you know, Brendan Donovan in St. Louis, like guys that are just grinders that don't swing and miss and don't swing at bad pitches. Do they need to go get one of those guys to incorporate into this mix?
Yes, and I say that with a question mark because, you know, you bring in a Bregman who's never struck out more than 100 times in a season.
Like, he's a walk-to-strikeout guy. He's almost a one-to-one for his career, which is elite. It's incredible. But the mentality, and the example I give is obviously the World Series-winning Dodgers, Max Muncy. Obviously, the Phillies would love to have a Max Muncy. Max Muncy, when he was out of the lineup, the Dodgers were an under-500 team. Yes, he didn't get a single hit in the World Series. Phillies fans would hate it if you got a guy like Max Muncy and he didn't get a hit in the World Series. But they would love it if they won the World Series. And what Max Muncy brings is a swing decision in different situations. Sometimes you don't swing at the first pitch that's a strike unless it's middle-middle, you know, and it's 99 right down the middle and you can do damage on it. That's the kind of guy they need to bring in, and I think those guys are available without getting an Alex Bregman, without trading the farm for a young player from another organization who has shown for 2 years that they don't swing out of the zone. You need guys that are willing to put together at-bats, but the other issue with that is you're going to sit there and go, this guy hits 220. Like, because those guys do not hit for a high batting average. They don't swing out of the zone, and they don't allow your team to get into situations where it's a one-pitch out. It's usually one-pitch doubles or homers, and it's five pitches, and it's an out. Seven, eight pitches, and it's an out. And those are productive players. So to me, I'm looking at lesser value with like a Jonathan India type of player who had a 16.8 chase rate outside of the zone. It just means he's not swinging at pitches outside the zone. He'll still strike out. It's okay. But you go there, and it doesn't really shake up your entire organization by saying, well, we just added another $23 million a year player in Alex Bregman for the next 8 years.
I like that idea. You need more grinders. I mean, like, I think of Muncy, I think of a grinder. All right, Kratz, let's talk about Garrett Crochet. He's been connected to the Phillies a lot. How good do you think he is? I mean, obviously the stats last year are off the walls. I mean, then they shut him down a little bit at the end, and they limited those innings. But it's only been one great year. He's had injuries. Is he worth it? Like, if the Phillies decide they want to upgrade pitching and that's the way they want to make their team better, do you think Crochet is worth giving up some of their best prospects to get?
I'll go to Charlie Manuel quote. When he was asked, would you like to have Giancarlo Stanton on your team? And he said, yes. He goes, well, who would you trade for him? And Chuck goes, well, I would trade Roy Halladay. I would trade Cliff Lee. I'd even trade Cole Hamels if it got me there. Garrett Crochet is that good of a pitcher. Yes, there's injury concern. Yes, there's a issue with, you know, he hasn't thrown many innings earlier. You know, he's never started in his career. When you have a talent like that and you have a team positioned where they are, you can never have enough elite starting strikeout pitching because that guy would slot in right into the rotation. And I think you could even possibly trade trade Sanchez. You could trade a, without getting into your Nick Abel, to your Andrew Painters, you know, to your Aiden Millers, you could trade a big league ready pitcher that has low service time, and, you know, the package wouldn't be so devastating to your minor league system.
Well, I mean, the way you framed it, I'm in. He's got big time stuff, and him and Wheeler and Nolan a series would be really, really good. Kratz, we appreciate you hopping on. Let's do it again soon, especially as the Phillies start making moves, and we'll check out the show on YouTube. Thank you, Kratz.
I appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Eric Kratz, foul territory there. We appreciate him hopping on. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh, I think people are chomping at the bit to react to all these things that we're talking about today, including the story that broke just about a half hour ago. Joel Embiid reportedly called out in a team meeting last night after the game by Tyrese Maxey. One more quick thing to throw in. It just goes with the whole show today. We do have a Juan Soto Phillies update for you. John Heyman put this out about half hour ago. The Phillies haven't met with Juan Soto yet, but they plan to. Not many teams want to win more than them. So now we're getting something concrete here. The Phillies are planning to meet with Juan Soto. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on all this. Rob in Delco, and don't forget, it is Combo Con today. We're looking for one-two punches. One that I think was been included in one last year is Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. I'm not sure anymore if they are as good of a one-two punch they used to be, because maybe not on the best terms. Rob in Delco, what's up, buddy?
They got beef.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like the basketball gods knew I was going to be the next call after this news broke, Hugh. That's what it knew. Because when I talked to Kyle, he's like, no, we want to stick to the Soto thing. And then when this broke, he got back on. He's like, it must have been meant to be, Hugh, that I was going to follow up with the first call after this joke of an athlete that we have right now. Now, if I could spend the middle, and I got a great combo answer, but, Hugh, it's not original, and I'm kind of playing off the news, so... You kind of know where I'm going to go with my answer. But first thing, is Juan Soto better than Aaron Judge?
No, he's not absolutely better than Aaron Judge. No.
Then why would you give him $700 million?
Well, but he's he's 5 years younger than Judge
was.
You,
that's why I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. That's
he is 5 years younger than Judge was when Judge hit free agent. You're paying for all the years of good that you. I mean, Rob, he's probably got 8 more years of like prime before he even starts to decline. So we got a long runway there.
All right, these numbers to me aren't even close to Judge's. Like to me, Judge is way better. Like he's not even he's an average fielder too. People don't talk about Soto's fielder.
He is. I agree with you. Yeah, I think average is probably even generous. Yeah, he's not a very good fielder.
Yeah. He's not very good in the World Series. But anyway, listen, and I got a great answer for you at the end, so don't let me forget. Joe, what has my slogan been? I used to say I, but I'm going to say we now, Hugh, because I'm speaking for the city of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. okay? I'm making a blanket statement. We want our team back, okay? And it starts at the top with the moron owner, and it starts below that with the moron GM, okay? They just gave, and you know how they announce, like, when they, if you're at the game, 7-2, I'm going to say 325 because he ain't in shape. So I'm going to make 325 center from Kansas, and they play the music in the background. They said that Mr. Softy music in the background, Hugh. Like that truck that comes down the street with the ice cream and the milkshake.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the yeah, play that for Joel Embiid. Because you know what? They're a joke. Like, to me, I'm ready to start over with Tyrese and Jarrett McCain and get rid of this guy right now. If somebody would take him, Joe, I would deal him right now. They just gave him 3 years and $190 million and change for a guy that doesn't show up on time, doesn't care about his body, doesn't take care of himself. We just gave him another 3 years at $190 plus?
Rob, it's a slap in the face to the organization. I mean, he's turning his back on his teammates, but he's also, if I was Josh Harris and I was Daryl Morey, I'd be furious today. Like, that it got to the point where they have to call you, like a teammate has got to call you out in a team meeting. Rob, they should have traded this guy 2 years ago, and now it is a disaster because he's not healthy, and he's obviously not working hard enough. It's one thing for me to assume that. But when it's coming out from Tyrese Maxey, I know it's true. Like, Maxey's not going to do that. Hugh, you live life in a locker room. There's no way a teammate, from my perspective, would call another teammate unless there's real reason to do it.
Especially if you feel like there's a legit chance and you know you're busting your butt and they're not busting their butt. Yeah, this is big. And you know what this reminds me of? This is almost like a bitter breakup. There's going to be more that comes out behind this.
Yep.
Because Joel Embiid is not going to go quietly into the night. That's the kind of the best part about it.
Him. I hope he doesn't. Screw you, Joel. I don't want him. I'm at the breaking point, Joe. That's it. I'm done.
Well,
I'm done
I bet you're not the only one. Rob, what do you got for us for Combo Con? What's your answer?
Real fast, they're not only slapping in the face, the owners are slapping us, and I'm not even excusing Joel. Joel, that's who he is, and they knew who he was. The owners and the GM are slapping the city of Philadelphia and us fans in the face. That's who they're slapping in the face. Because Joel is who he is, Hugh. You know what I mean? This has been going on for a while, so they're slapping us in the face. That's why I'm actually more mad at them than I am at Joel. Here's my answer. Tyrese Maxey and leadership. That's my perfect combination.
Oh, I like that. All right. Good. A little 1-2 punch there, Rob. Appreciate it.
Something that stands out about the article, because we haven't gotten really too much of a chance to get deep into the details here. The paragraph that says, Embiid accepted the messages, but he stated that he's sometimes confused about what the Sixers are attempting to execute on the court. That, coupled with his almost dismissive attitude after the game. Like, say I was late for the show to start 10 a.m. all the time. And you guys are like, yo, Kyle, like, you know, you should start showing up on time. And I'm like, well, what are you guys doing in the show? It's like, yeah, no, hold on a second.
You would know if you were here.
Yeah, like, you're deflecting from what we think the issue is.
That's why I say it's more to come. Because he probably accepted it, but at the same time, he felt attacked.
You know who I want to hear from today? We'll take everyone's phone call. I want to hear from the person who whines and cries every time I try to say the truth about Joel Embiid. I need to hear from the Joel Embiid fan today.
That ain't about to happen.
Well, no, I need to. Because if you're a Joel Embiid zealot and you will refuse to criticize this guy, it's time to wake up.
Right now?
It's time to wake up. Like, again, it's a slap in the face to you, too. The people out there that love this guy because he's a great player. Again, I think NBA fans just have bad math skills. There's 15 great players. They're all over the place. The reason that the certain guys win is because they put in all the work, and certain guys don't because they don't. And that's obvious now.
I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, why something like this might have been leaked. If they thought the team meeting was productive, then it's almost something that doesn't need to be said. Is this a response to Embiid almost seeming dismissive, as though maybe the message didn't get through?
This is, to me, Kyle,
I think that's a fair thought.
To me, Kyle, this is survival mode. Because that's why when I heard the story, people have been speculating this for years. I was told that this has been going on for like 10 years. He, you know, when he got here, he didn't rehab to get ready for the season and he missed the season. So this is something that's not new. The fact that it's coming out now, this feels like survival mode. Somebody's in survival mode right now, especially coming off the fact that you just gave this man a ton of money. And, you know, we've been hearing rumors and speculation that he's been working out and he's in shape. I, you know, to me, Embiid looks the same. To be honest, if he's in shape, out of shape, big, tall dude, you know, whatever. But the play on the court does not reflect somebody who's been working hard to get ready for the season.
Last night, to give you an example of your point, he doesn't look right on the court. It was the first game that Joel Embiid has played since 2018 without attempting a free throw shot.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me either the effort or the stamina or the physicality is not there, right? Because he gets free throws whenever he wants. All he has to do is go down low and bang, and he'll get to the free throw line because he's good at getting free throws, and no one can guard him anyway because he's so big and strong. It's like him not getting to the free throw line tells me his effort and his ability right now are not there. 215-592-9494. I'm just so glad that Tyrese Maxey did this. I'm just so glad. Like, it's time, because it obviously wasn't getting through when fans do it. Like, that wasn't working.
Y'all crazy.
Daryl Morey, go look at his track record with James Harden. He let Harden go to Vegas in between playoff series when he was with the... I mean, Harden ran the show in Houston, and all that team did was not come close to winning a championship. I mean, Morey's the biggest pushover in the NBA when it comes to stars, so Morey wasn't going to call him out. I don't know if Nurse feels like he can. Maybe this was his way of allowing it to happen. I don't know, but someone had to call him out. Let's go to Greg in Hamilton. Hey, Greg. Greg, you there, buddy?
Greg, buddy.
The moment's too big for him.
Greg,
we got too many topics on the table.
You gotta be on time, Greg. Don't be an Embiid. Black Gritty's up. What's up?
Black Gritty.
You know I'm always on time. Hugh, what it do?
What's up, man?
There. Quinn Jeff behind the glass. So let me tell you something. There's some show that comes on after you, and they take a lot of shots at you. I don't listen that much anymore, but they be talking a lot of stuff and talking about trading Maxey and, when it was wrong on McCain. And they fight so hard for Joel Embiid. Well, you're going to die on that hill because it's over now. The fact
been
that
a lot of dying on hills lately.
Yeah, a lot of dead
lot
people
of
on
it. Hills. They about to, it's a drought here. It's a drought. It's a fire, bro. We in trouble. This dude's got to get traded. You gave a 5-year extension for what? Morey's supposed to call him out? No, my coach is supposed to call him out. I know that Glenn Rivers let him do whatever he wanted to do with Harden. But this Joel Embiid, dude, you came off your Olympics. You were supposed to go out there and hang with the LeBrons and the champions and the Currys and do something. And you come back, you're out of shape, your knees busted up, you still get an extension. And Tyrese Maxey, you know how bad of a person that you got to be at your job for Smiley to come and check you? All the dude wants to do
Smiley.
Is be happy, bro. When you get
take
Smiley,
people girlfriends.
For real. I mean, Mr. Steele, your girl, it is what it is. But I'm saying, if he stole it, you ain't never had it. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you know
true.
What it is.
Yeah.
But get back.
back and smoke. If you smoke it, pal, then this man is so nice. This kid is so good. But he worried about Joel not doing his job. And Joel can deflect all he wants to. But guess what? You do so much for the city, you can't show up on time for $500 million? You can't show up on time when you do so much for the city. Now, trade him, get me Max, and get me Kane. The only thing that they seem to be able to do lately is get some hits on draft picks. So go out there, get Joel to get his 50-point game before the trade deadline and get this dude out of here. Because guess what? We ain't never winning with him. It don't matter. He's going to be hurt regardless. And we are a transparent organization again. Start the process all over again. My goodness gracious. If you called Joel Fendrell, it would be you're a crazy individual right now because this dude's out of here. Things will go together. I'm over here eating some fries, some ketchup. That's a classic.
Ketchup and fries as a 1-2 that punch. That's really good.
I'll see y'all tomorrow. Y'all better be straight.
We'll see you at Chickies tomorrow. Thank you, Black Ready.
Could have been anything but ketchup, honestly.
No, fries go with ketchup.
No, they don't.
But that's a 1-2.
Fries go with that shake.
It's a 1-2 punch.
You never heard that saying back in the day?
I would much rather eat fries than a shake than with ketchup.
Do fries go with that shake?
No, that's a good one. Now, you cannot like fries and ketchup, but you have to admit it is a 1-2 punch.
It's a bad 1-2 punch.
But that's fine. You could say it's not your favorite 1-2 punch, but it's up there with any food 1-2 punch there is.
I can think of better.
You know, I don't even eat much ketchup anymore. Like, I very rarely have it.
Yeah, because we're adults now.
But on fries, it works.
I can think of like five different things I'd rather dip it in ketchup.
I don't need ketchup on fries.
You don't need it, but it adds to it.
I would rather eat them with nothing than with ketchup.
Well, that depends on the fry. I mean, some fries are not very good.
And I think we're operating under the assumption that it's a good fry.
Okay, 215-592-9494.
I like my bet. I took another good one.
Yeah, you did. I'm operating the assumption that Joel Embiid is not a championship player. I've been operating under this assumption for like...
You feel vindicated?
Yes. Yes, of course I do.
You said it was so much...
Because it's so obvious, and everyone's like, oh, he's a great player. Could you ever...
This is a bad look.
Could you ever imagine... Go to the best players in the NBA that won all the titles over the last 30 years. Could you ever imagine someone saying this about Michael Jordan, LeBron James,
late.
Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant? Never! Never!
Well, technically, Allen Iverson showed up late a few times. He was great.
He wasn't a championship player. I mean, let's call it for what it is. He didn't win anything.
Yeah, but he was a hell of a player, though.
215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, your phone calls here coming up. The whole Joel Embiid situation. If you missed it, Tyrese Maxey called him out. Can we hear quickly, and then we'll hit all this again and continue in the 1 o'clock hour. Can we hear Joel Embiid, some of what he had to say when he was upset at Marcus Hayes a couple weeks ago? Because he threw this in there, and then we find out he's not even showing up on time.
I broke in my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision.
You sorry?
Have broken fingers. I still came back, so I'm not gonna see him. When I see people saying he doesn't want to play, I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, you know, for people to be saying that. So I do think he's bullshit. Like that dude, he's not here. Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this city to be treated like this. So, done way too much. But, like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and, you know, I'm not, you know, doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm going to be here pretty soon.
The end caught me.
I'll be out here pretty soon.
Well, in the end, when he said, it doesn't mean I'm not doing everything it takes and I'm not trying. Well, guess who doesn't think you're doing everything it takes?
Your teammates.
Yep. And they called you out in a meeting yesterday. So spare me. Like, spare me the pity party. Spare me, leave me alone, blah, blah, blah. Go out there and show your teammates. Because it's beyond just us now. I mean, your teammates, they're the ones with you every day. And they see it. 215-592-9494. Your reaction here to the Embiid story. Maxey called him out in a team meeting last night. Soto news. The Phillies are meeting with him. A lot to discuss. We'll hit it all in the 1 o'clock hour. 215-592-9494. And your answers for CombiCon. We're looking for a 1-2 punch today for the ultimate midday show tailgate giveaway. Brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances on Sports Radio 94 WIP.